It is with great, great pleasure that my wife and I get to do this today. Richard and Elaine Allen, will you please step forward at this moment in time? Real quick, I knew these two 30 years ago when we weren't following Jesus, amen? Real quick, we parted company. These two met, fell in love, and started following Jesus. Took me a while. Lost contact for all those years. Was it last year? 2 years ago? 2 years now. We remade contact through a mutual friend. They came up and visited, looked around and said, man, I think God's calling me to be here. Went home to Texas, sold it all, quit job, sold everything, and just moved back. Didn't have a place to stay. Didn't have no jobs waiting for me. Just came. Abrahamic faith. And now here we are. Richard and Elaine ministered down in Texas faithfully for a couple different churches. But today, my wife and I would like to present them. Where's the other one? Is there another one in there? This always happens. Two of them? All right. Okay. With certificates of ordination from Faith to Faith Ministries, please give them a warm round of applause. Are you feeling the love today?
I'm feeling the love today.
I just want to impart a blessing on you right now.
Yes.
All right? Wife and I would just like to pray with you, okay? Father, we thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you.
For their loyalty, for their willingness, for their obedience to follow you. Even when it looked scary and dark, they just said, we're going to do it.
That's
right. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for their faith. We thank you, Lord, that they love you, and in turn, they love people.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we just, if I can impart my anointing onto them, that's what I want to do right now. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm imparting my anointing, my wife's anointing, over to Richard and Elaine right now. I thank you, Father, for it. Oh, you're so good. From this day forward, your lives will never be the same. From this day forward, your lives will never be the same. You are going to reach people that otherwise had no hope. You are going to be able to help people that were heartbroken. You are going to be able to help people find the Lord and follow Him. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Father, for these two. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This before like this.
You're going to do fine.
You can hear me? Good. I'm really honored to be here and be a part of this ministry. When we came up and visited, we had no idea what was going to happen, but Wanda, praise God, she accepted me, took me in, just like she knew me for a long time, and I was a stranger to her. You know, the past things happen, but she didn't look at that. She didn't care. She tried to look at the heart. She tried to see us that way. And I honor you for that. Thank you so much. The church family here, you guys have accepted us, loved on us. We're trying to learn everybody. I don't know everybody's name still, even though we've been here, gosh, since last June, end of June, July. Of course, people come and people go, and sometimes you get to meet them all, and sometimes you don't. But what I want to share today, I may need some help because I'm a visual teacher. I teach children, so you have to be more visual with the kids. And this message, somebody else was actually given a word, and all of a sudden God just started pouring this on me. And you know when God starts to pour something on you, you got to share it. So I started taking notes. I started looking up some things. And so I want to share what he shared with me. And I got one volunteer. This is my sister, Nancy. I didn't know I was going to have any family here today. She blessed me. She surprised me. I actually need two more people. If I could have two more people come up. Nicole, come on. Come on. Oh. That's fine. I'm going to start with this and give one to Shirley, Nicole, and Nancy. Yeah, get closer. Says him. Good thing. Can you hold them up so everybody in the back can see too? Think about the age. Is the Holy Spirit or your Heavenly Father? I. And then M is our Messiah. Okay. Now, I'm going to take this I, and we're going to come out here. Okay. Now, the I has come away from him. Okay. I want you to keep that in mind. I, apart from him, the word says I can't do anything. I become a mess. If I try to do things on my own, I say, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it that way. More than likely, I'm going to fall on my face. But when I am in him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, ladies. For now. I don't know. I may need you later. I don't know. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures to go with this. I should have had somebody bring me down a thing, but that's okay. That was how he first started showing me the message that he wanted me to share. We're going to turn to John chapter 15. I'm going to read the first 10 verses, I believe. Yeah. I had to memorize this when I was growing up going to church out of Beulah Church so I could earn my way to go to church camp. So it's kind of always been a special, that's a little high, a special scripture for me. John chapter 15, that's good. And I'm reading out of the New King James, so if it sounds a little different, that's why. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out of the out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. But by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, also I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Yeah, take a drink, sorry. I don't know what he's saying, but Oh. Thank you. So we see in this, God saying, I am the true vine. As Christians, we've been, those of us who are Gentiles and not Jews, we've been grafted in to the true vine. God is our vine, Jesus is the vine, and God is the vine dresser. When we're grafted in, we begin to get our sustenance from Jesus. Okay? And as long as we stay in Him, in the Word, in prayer, in praise and worship, just trying to really bring Him into everything of your world. You know, some people think, well, you know, I go to church, I'll just, you know, that's where I'm with God. But you really have to take Him everywhere you go. You can't leave Him at the church door when you leave the church. You've got to take Him to work. You've got to take Him to school. You've got to take Him to the grocery store with you. You've got to take Him everywhere you go. You've got to be meditating on the Word as much as possible. And I know we're human and we have human minds, of course, and, you know, we falter a little bit. And I'm not saying I'm there yet, please. But the more that we saturate ourselves in this Word, whether it's reading it, listening to somebody teaching it, whether it's listening to the Bible on CDs, DVDs, or whatever, saturating in it so that you're in Him. And when trials of life come against you, you're going to stand strong. You're going to stand firm, and you're going to be able to get through it. Yeah, you may falter a little bit, and it may get a little rough, but if you dwell on what He's giving you, the promises that He's filled you up with prior to that event that may come to your life, whether it's a bill in the mail and you go, oh my gosh, $300 gas bill, how am I going to pay that? You know? But if you're dwelling in Him, you're going to go, oh wait, Philippians 4:19 says, my God, make sure He's your God, my God shall supply all my needs, not some, but all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. See, if you jump back and get into the Word as soon as something like that comes in, and you're filled up with it, you're abiding in Him, then an abide means to remain and to continue. See, we can't say, oh, I'm a Christian on Sunday only, and on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, go and do our own thing. We've got to be a Christian following after Christ to the best of our ability every single day. It can't be a part-time thing. We can't just date Jesus, I heard recently. We got to be married to Him. Okay? He's the head, we are the body. If I cut off my arm, it's not going to be any good. Okay? And that's the same with us. If we're grafted into Christ and we're a branch, if I don't have the Word in me, it's not doing me any good. And when those crises and situations come against us, might as well be dead on the ground doing no good. But if I keep filling myself with the Word of God, listening to praise and worship, praying, believing, and reading and studying the best I can when time allows, then I'm going to be able to stand. We had a situation, and I know Richard has touched on this, and this is probably one of the bigger examples I can give you. But 13 years ago, our daughter fell out of the car I was driving. She died instantly. There was no pain. I know this because of the way she looked when I got to her. That day, in particular, that day, I had been reading the Word. I had been using a daily devotional that I had been reading and meditating on. I had gone to a Woman's Aglow meeting that day. I knew I was in right standing with God. That was part of the teaching I had received that day. But 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was going to pick up our oldest daughter. And for whatever reason, God only knows, the car door opened, Cassandra fell out. Had I not been in the Word, had I not been studying, had I not been allowing God to fill me up, I would have fallen apart. Yeah, I had my human fleshly fit. I was upset and it tore me up. But I knew almost instantly, deep in my spirit, I knew God was going to use that for His glory. How can He use something like that for His glory? He can, because He turns all things around for those who love God according to His purposes. He'll turn them around and He'll make something good out of it. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how bad it can get. You know, we can have things come against us, but if we dwell in Him and if we stay there with Him, He can bring us out and He can make it a wonderful thing. You know, we have the thorns in life. A rose has thorns. And yeah, you're going to get pricked every once in a while. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to say a harsh word against you. But if you allow God, the Word of God, to come up out of you and dwell in you, then it's not going to affect you very long. You get focused the right way. Get focused on Him. Don't focus on the situation and the storms around you. Focus on Him, and He'll bring you through it. Okay, I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. I'm going to go to Philippians 3. You see the paper? I'm not nervous. Liar. Actually, I don't. God's doing something. It's Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to start in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted for loss. Yet indeed I also count all things for loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, and righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. See, when we're going through things like what happened with our daughter Cassandra, God gave me a scripture to stand on to encourage me and bring me through that time. Do you have that Bible? Here it is. He's going to use it for something else later, but I opened up one day right after the accident. And God took me, if I can find it here, Psalms 57. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in You my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of Your wings until the disaster has passed. To me, of course, the death of our daughter was a disaster. I cry out to You, Most High God, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He sends from heaven, He saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. You know, people could have came and attacked us. Why didn't You do this? Why was this? Why that? Why that? I could have attacked myself. You know, the what ifs. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Those kind of things can eat you alive. But when you focus on God and you're staying in His Word, I cried out to God. Okay, I took refuge there the best I could. More recent experience was January 13th. Happened to be my brother's birthday. Didn't think about it too much at the time. I was on my way out to work. Shared a little bit of the testimony with y'all. It was snowing that morning. It was icy roads. I was going out Rochester Road, if y'all know Rochester Road. It's windy out there towards Cranberry. Rumors Bar is right out beside where I had a spin out. Cars were right behind me. I could have been plowed into. I could have flipped over into the ravine there and not be seen if nobody had been behind me. But I had prayed at the bottom of Deer Lane Extension. I said, God, I need You today. I didn't know why. I need You to surround me with Your angels. Hedge of protection around about me. I prayed different scriptures. And because I had wrapped myself in Him, He preserved me. My car wasn't even scratched. You know, I mean, I was nearly up against a tree. There was a little branch. Maybe a little bit of bark was on my mirror when I got out and actually could see in the daylight when we stopped at the Corners Cafe out there. And I'm looking at the side of my car and I'm going, there's not a scratch. There's not a ding. There's nothing. And I looked closer and there was a little bit of bark on the mirror. Wow. So what? A little bit of bark. You know, so I had tried to hide myself in Christ. You can do the same thing. You can hide yourself in Christ, and Christ will protect you from all kinds of disasters and calamities. Even trying to make the decision to move up here, you know. Yeah, we got the call. We felt like it was supposed to be. But when we got back to Texas, did we feel like it? Sometimes no. But we had to plow through, and we had to go, this is what God told us to do. We've got to do this. You know, no matter how hard it may seem, leaving jobs, like Pastor said, leaving family behind that's down there, house, furniture, all that. Like it says here, these things that were gained to me, I counted as loss for Christ. It didn't matter to me anymore. Those are material things that can be replaced, and many of them have been. Thank you, Jesus, for your provision. But, you know, when we stay focused on Christ, when we saturate in Him, He will deliver us. And it may not look like it for a while to you. I'm going to read another scripture. It's in Colossians, a couple pages over. And I'm going to try to wrap it up soon. My husband can. Colossians 3. Three is where I'm going to read. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. We want to be hidden in Christ. When people look at us, they shouldn't see so much of us, but they should see Jesus. And I'm not there yet. You know, none of us here are, because we're still in our flesh. So one day you may see me, and I may be having a cranky fit. You know, but I'm quicker to repent than I used to be. Ask my family, I have fits, just like anybody else. But, you know, I bought this T-shirt the other day. It's the names of Jesus. That's where we need to be, wrapped in Him, in His, you know, His Prince of Peace. He's our Savior. He's the Son of Man. I can't read all upside down. He's the way. He's the King of Kings. He's the Almighty. He's the Lord of all. If we can keep that in our forefront of our minds, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We'll make it through. You know, it may get hard and it may get bumpy, but focus on Him. And, you know, He'll bring us through. I'm going to read a couple more. These are kind of my closing scriptures for this. It's 1 John Chapter 2, 28. 1 John 2, verse 28. It says, and now, little children, abide in Him. We are children of God, right? We are princes and princesses. He's the King of Kings. So little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. So abide in Him. Stay in Him. If that's one thing I can share with you today, is abide in Him. Okay? Be found in Him. Don't try to do things on your own. If we had tried to, some things when we were trying to move, you know, we tried to do some things on our own. Didn't do so good. Yard sales. We didn't make very much money. We made some money, and it helped. We thought it would make a whole lot more money, but it didn't, because we probably didn't do it the way God wanted us to do it. Maybe we should have given most of it, or if not all of it away. You know? So we mess up, and we miss the mark. So we say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. Forgive me. Let me start over, and let's do this right. So that's my encouragement to you today, is abide in Him. You know, dwell in Him and let Him wrap you up, that you can be found in Him. All right? Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing. This is probably the day of the accident, or very close to it, one of the scriptures that I forgot. I'm sorry. Forgive me. This was the prayer. Now, these aren't dated by date, so I don't know exactly, but this goes with it. says, "Oh, Father, when will I learn that your way is the only sure way? Forgive me for the times when I prefer my way to your way. And kill within me all those desires that put self-interest before your interest. In Jesus' name." So when I dug that out last night, I thought that it was very fitting to go with this word. Thank you. Now you get...
Come on, man. You know, Pastor Elaine spoke on things concerning being grafted, joined together, connected with Jesus, our Father God, in faith and love and hope. She spoke about her experience with Cassandra, and I just want to share that there's an opposite that goes along with that too. The things that she spoke about being in the Word, about being joined with Christ in love. You can be doing things that you think are the right thing, but you're missing one key element that binds it all together. You can have faith that moves mountains, but if you have not love, let's go read that. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1. I'm reading out of the NIV. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm only resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Wow, that's a big one. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Wow, that's important. It always trusts. That's a big one. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfection comes, that imperfect disappears. I want to get down to verse 13. And now these things, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was at worship practice the other night, and I hadn't really been talking about anything. We just did our worship practice, and it was pretty good practice, and I didn't think that it was showing. But Sister Heidi came up to me after worship practice and said, "You know, Rich, you really seem like you've got a world of troubles on your mind." I wouldn't have thought that it showed. I was enjoying myself and having a good time. And I thought about that, and we prayed. And I went to the Lord in prayer, and I said, what's going on? What is missing? I exercise faith. I believe in your word. I'm persevering. I'm doing all these things that would seem that would give you success. And in a sense, it does give you success. You can work the principles of God and get success, but you can be miserable in the midst of it and not enjoying the ride. Okay? I battled. I fight a valiant fight, man. I'll fight and fight every day. But it felt like I was pushing a wheelbarrow up a mountain full of blocks, you know? Come on, Richard, you can do it. Just one more step. Just 100 more miles to go. Little help here, Jesus. You can be weary in the doing of good. Does anybody think that that's where we're supposed to stay? Weary and well-doing, tired, wore out, whirlwind around the old mind? What's the mind have to do with it anyway? I'm calling this faith without love is dead. Works without faith is dead. Faith without love is dead because faith worketh by love. Okay? As I marinated on this a little bit, you know, God started showing me some cool things. And He speaks to me in funny ways because, you know, He knows where my mind goes, and I think about all kinds of weird abstract thought patterns and this and that. I like watching those cop shows on, you know, they have a whole mess of them nowadays. Because I like figuring out how people deal with things. I want to examine how did they get there, what's going on. It just intrigues me to no end. And you can learn a lot about people and life as it is today. You know, chances are we're going to run into folks like that. You know, what makes them tick? How did they get there? This one particular cop show was dealing with prostitution out in L.A. And in my mind, I like to think of prostitute as victims and hating their lifestyle. And a lot of times they are. They're into all kinds of abuse. They're trapped. But this particular show was showing prostitutes that just really, really enjoyed this. They thought that they were just having a time of their life. And their transactions were they lacked any kind of guilt, remorse, sorrow. Their transactions were like going down the sheets and getting a cup of coffee. This is no big deal. And I got to thinking to myself, my God, I thought of that for a minute. And the men who frequent that are so dead, but this is a common lifestyle with them. And the Lord said something really weird to me. He says, this is how this death, this lack of passion, to me, that kind of love that I have with my wife, there's passion there, there's love, there's relationship, there's closeness. I couldn't have that kind of relationship with her without that. And the Lord said, this is how I feel, Rich, when you exercise my principles without love. Okay? Yeah. God gave us emotions. He said we were created after His image and likeness. That means love, hate, anger, passion. These are all, you can read the Bible. God has those kinds of emotions. He is a jealous God. He's jealous after us. It wasn't like God was saying that I'm dead. He just wanted to bring home a strong point with me. And like I said, he uses things because my mind was there and he just dropped that in. And it was really effective. We can get caught up in works, doing the right things, saying the right things. Do you know that you can speak? It says, the Bible says, let me see, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Do you know if you speak the truth without love, what you do is end up poisoning the listeners because you're speaking of the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law, which is love. So we can take the truth and apply it to our circumstances, but be nothing but a legalistic Pharisee. Thus it loses its power. You can exercise faith without love, but faith sees that, or if love sees that faith through to the end, because you are confident and you know that God loves you and He's not going to let you down. He's not going to stop. But love keeps that process going. You know, it's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Hope is the springboard to faith. But faith isn't the end. Love sees that faith through. Okay? Jesus said in the last days that the love of many would wax cold because of the deceitfulness of sin. I think Pastor Elaine really hit the nail on the head. Abiding in Him, abiding in the vine. What binds that branch to the vine? Love. Who is God? God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This is what I command of you, that you love one another, Jesus said. That is the answer. The answer is love. Don't be out of love with Him. Love is abiding in Him. Love is fellowshipping with Him. Love is knowing that you can do all things through Christ. Knowing that without love, it's a fact, but it loses its power. Second Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Now, if you take love out of Second Timothy 1:7, what you have left is power, fear, and a sound mind. You won't have a sound mind very long without love. Without love, that fear creeps in. Perfect love casts out fear. We love because He first loved us. Where do you get this love, Rich? Just like everyone's been given a measure of faith, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We have love living inside of us, those who have Christ. You've got to nurture that love. Just like your sweetheart at home. Just like that mom that you love. Just like anything that you love, you have to nurture it. You have to love it. You have to pay attention. Those of you who are kind of like me, I get a million things going on in my mind and I get tunnel vision. we're going. We're getting these million things done. I don't care if it kills me. And a lot of times it does. Why? Not enjoying the journey. What Elaine said about abiding in Him, there comes a place where you're abiding, where you know you're protected under the shadow of His wings. You know that He is there with you at all the times. You know, but you have to nurture it. Just like I know that my wife loves me and is faithful. It's confidence. It gives me energy. It gives me confidence to move on, to wake up and say, "Wow, I'm glad I'm married. I'm glad I got this woman that God's given me to." You've got to know that God loves you. Do the things that bring out love. It's not about works. Like the Mary and Martha story. Was it Martha was busy or Mary? One of them was real busy. Martha Stewart, yeah. Worried about cooking, and she said to Mary, who was sitting at Jesus' feet, just basking in His presence, loving His words. She says, "Don't you care about all this work that has to be done?" And Jesus said, "She's doing the right thing." Take time. Sit at His feet. Sit in His presence. Love Him. Learn to know His love. Learn to know what love is. Practice and exercise that love. This is how you know that we're His disciples, if you love. Jesus laid down His life. Lay down life. Lay down self. Selfish ambition. We can think that we're saying the right thing to somebody, making the right decision about a circumstance, situation, and without love, we're poisoning that situation and actually keeping it in a place where love can't do a miracle, can't carry faith out. Love brings perfect peace. Peace that passes all understanding. So this is what I wanted to share with you today. Abide in His love. Abide in His peace. When you sense yourself getting carried away with the thoughts of your mind and the circumstances of your life, and they're becoming too difficult, abide in His love. Check your love walk. Jesus said in Revelations, "You've lost your first love." The enemy is doing everything he can to wreck the love walk. I didn't realize just how much the news and the events of this world have been affecting me. I watch the news. I keep up on current events. And I've noticed myself growing cynical. Hard inside. You have to protect yourself somehow. That hurts. That drains your love out of you. So, I would like to invite you guys. Your love walk isn't what it once was. If you sense that you've grown kind of cold towards the Lord, if your walk with Him has become difficult, I would like to open this altar up right now and ask you to come up. Let's pray together for Jesus to infuse your heart with His love. And if anyone doesn't know Jesus Christ, the lover of our souls who gave Himself for our behalf, I want to invite you up as well. to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're going to pray for you and love you. And we just thank God for you. So come on up and receive prayer for anything. And we thank you and bless you. Amen. We love you. Amen.
Thanks.